Hey folks, this is Zionic here. Just want to let you know about our Indiegogo campaign titled Operation Unite the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. It's a campaign for me and John to get together at Animazement this year, and we could use all the support we can get. If you want to know more about where the campaign is at, I can go ahead and give you guys the short code now. And that short code is going to be http://igg.me/@or/at/unite AOY. Or you can be able to Google us on the internet by typing in Indiegogo on Google if you search up Operation Unite the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. We could use all the help we can get, guys. Even if you can't really contribute right now, at least share and let other people know. We appreciate all our listeners and our feedback and the comments and everything. So thank you for sticking with us and enjoy the episode.
How far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, we get to review Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin, Blue-Eyed Castfall OVA. I can hear you. How do I sound?
Fine.
Awesome. I actually got a new headset, so that's what I'm using right now. So I was just curious how it sounds on your end.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Does it sound any different from the other one I've been using for like ever?
Well, I guess it sounds a little better. Yeah.
All right. Because actually, the headset I'm using is one of those long wired PS3 headsets that I got from a Radio Shack closing down in like some mall in Athens when I went there a couple weeks ago for Valentine's Day. And it was normally priced like $20 or $30, and they had a discount to about $9.
Yeah, Radio Shack is closing down. That's
the one near my the one right up the street from me is still existing, and I'm like waiting for them to close down so I can get like buku's amount of stuff from them for like next to nothing.
Yeah. I mean it's kind of surprising they even lasted as long as they did, because Circuit City closed down years ago, didn't they?
Yeah, and their memory is still available in certain shopping centers that people don't have any reason to occupy that giant amount of space. And yeah. Radio Shad has existed for however long for whatever reason. Like, I went to them, like, depending on, like, if I couldn't get something in town from Walmart, and usually my Walmart's really crappy, so
I rarely go in there. I mean, like, if I need a battery or something, I guess.
Well, I mean, you're spending, like, double the price if you can get a battery online or something.
Well, a lot of the time at Radio Shack, they'll just say, like, oh, you should go somewhere else to get that because it'll be cheaper there.
We don't want your business. We'll be okay. Not anymore.
Yeah. That's probably part of what did them in, is that they did that at a lot of Radio Shack stores.
Do you remember, like, their marketing campaign to, like, change it to The Shack a few years ago, and that went nowhere?
Yeah, that didn't work.
I think they changed it on their corporate website, and that's as far as they got. Because, like, yeah, they're going to change it on their stores and, like, revamp their model or whatever. And it's just like, nothing's going to happen. And I was exactly right about that.
Yeah, that store was, its death was a foregone conclusion.
But if anybody out there needs to get a cheap police scanner or, like, a DVD recorder or, like, cheap earbuds or CDs, that's the place to go if it's shutting down.
So did you listen to any of that Chris Chan audio file?
No, I haven't yet. I put it on Dropbox, but I'll put it on my phone eventually. So I'll listen to it like next week, but I can't wait to hear it. Are you able to sum up basically what happened?
Okay, well, basically...
Well, I'll tell you what. Do you want to save this until closing remarks?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, because then I've got something for closing remarks too. So that's kind of related to like me getting the headset or the area I was at. So we'll just like wait to hold this off until later, because then like if you talk about Chris Chan, you're gonna like
have anything later.
Well, now I got nothing to talk about. Yeah. I'm like, well, that's your fault.
Yeah, that happened last time.
All right.
So I guess we should just get to Gundam then. Gundam the Origin anime.
Yeah, I guess we should. I'm actually gonna say something crazy. I'm gonna do what's called an introduction.
Oh yeah.
For maybe people who have never heard this podcast before. So we are the Anime Vestiaire podcast, in case you can't read your MP3 file that says that title that I put it on there, which I'm pretty sure I spelt it right whenever I do these. But I am Zionic or Dustin, and then my co-host is John.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. So, and we just saw the anime version of Gundam the Origin, Blue Eye Castfall, which I gotta say was actually really good. Despite what certain people online may say about it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people hating on this. Jacob Pascal and Lord Dalek.
Screw him. Screw him.
To be specific. And that gave me hope that it was going to be good, because I just tend to think that they're going to be wrong about almost everything. So.
But they're usually wrong about almost anything anyway. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I give Dalek credit about SAO.
Yeah,
because he was right about that.
He's right sometimes, but a lot of the time he's like way too negative, and this is one of those cases. And I think that the only, I guess he said that it was not faithful enough to the manga, but I just skimmed through the manga right before we recorded and after we watched the anime, and except for that space battle at the very start, it's almost identical to the first half of volume 5. So I really don't know.
I've skimmed through volume 5 too, and it seemed like it was pretty much on par with whatever was in there. So, and like they've only covered like what, the first third in this, because the other part is like when they get to Earth, and I know like he fights someone that's trying to assassinate them, and like in a knight armor, and then they go back to space or the Texas colony. That's what I've skimmed through so far.
Yeah, but, this is just the part where Castfall and Artesia are children and. They're in space, and that's the only part that's adapted in this episode. It looks like this Gundam the Origin anime is only going to be the past arc from Gundam the Origin, and I guess if this part does well enough, maybe they'll go ahead and do the other parts of Gundam the Origin with Amuro and the main story of the One Year War, but they haven't really said if they're going to do that part yet or not.
I mean, I kind of figured it was just going to really focus on like the uprising of the Principality of Zeon and everything. And like in this case, it's the Republic of Munzo.
Yeah, because at this point, I guess we should just say what happens. Just kind of go through the history of Munzo and
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the first part is a space battle that's original to this, and this seems to be the most controversial part of it, I guess, because a lot of people are really pissed off about the fact that they use CGI in it, and they think that it should be, I guess, animated in 1979 animation style or something, I don't know. But, I mean, does anybody honestly expect that to happen in 2015, that they would animate it along the way that they animated the original UC stuff?
Oh, is this a rhetorical question? Because I'm going to go with no.
I mean, no one in their right mind would expect that it be animated like a Tamino Gundam, but apparently that's what's pissing people off. They don't like that there's CGI now, but yeah, there's been CGI for as long as I've been alive. That's just the way things are animated now.
Yeah, and those people that are supporting that are just UC jerkasses, as quoted to someone from us. Someone from Dune Zone. I could not help but to bring that up, but that was the perfect opportunity, I have to say. Whoever that anonymous person was, that I don't even bother, I'm not even going to bother to track them down. I don't care. Yeah. But, no, like, the opening was, like, and I, okay, well, I guess we'll have to get into, you know, it is out in America through Amazon and greatest successful anime streaming company ever, Daisuke. Snicker, snicker, lol. No, they're not, because they want to charge like $8 for the dub, and it was cheaper on Amazon for both. And I think Amazon was like, oh my god, we're gonna lose all our sales if like we charge it lower than Daisuke, so let's jack up the prices. And I was like, F that.
Yeah, I think what CG said was that it was $5 and then it got raised to $8 on
Amazon.
Yeah,
I was prepared to like buy it for $5 or rent it or whatever. I was like, yeah, I got no problem renting the dub for $5. And that's like for that extra $3 to $4, like, you know, $3, and I'm like, nah.
Yeah. I mean, at least it's not, I mean, how much was Unicorn when it came out on Blu-ray? It was like real expensive, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, but like, I was hoping this would.
But this is just a download, and it's a rental too, so you can't even keep it.
Yeah, because I checked. I meant to check PSN, but I don't know if it's on there. No, I did check PSN, and Origin is not on there because when I was when we reviewed our the Unicorn stuff, I'd rent whatever was on PSN, and which is usually like the dub, or it might have been the sub too. But that was like $3, and I was like, yeah, I have no problem giving like $3 to Bandai through this. This is a great deal. I'm like, and I'm renting it for 24 hours. And here it's like, you know, increase that 250% for something that's about the same length. And then it's like, and like, and the thing with Daisuke was the fact that, like, I have their freaking app and we have an account on there. And then, like, the main problem with that on streaming it is, like, you can stream anything else, but if you try using your Apple, you know, iOS system or, like, my iPad, it was like, it's not available. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, Daisuke, it doesn't seem like it's a successful website. They've lost a lot of their licenses, I think.
Well, they made all this big thing about, like, yeah, what do you want us to get? And then they get it, and then it's like, as soon as they finish, like, Double Zeta, like, 5 minutes later, we're like, well, we got everything out there, so let's just shut the whole thing down. It's like, why? I mean...
Yeah. I mean, that site has been kind of a bomb. I'm surprised they even managed to get this.
Yeah, they're a joke that they still exist. And, like, I checked the... I don't even use that app much, but I went on there, and I was like, well... the app has Gundam of the Origin listed. But yet, it's, like, there to, like, oh, you want to see this? Well, go to a computer and buy it that way. You can't use it on your app, which is the most, like, flexible piece of technology to watch anything on it, because that's what a lot of billions Americans do and anime fans do. But we're not going to give you the option for just Gundam of the Origin. Makes no sense. And, you know, if it's on the app and you can't play it through the, like, your handheld device, don't even have it through the app then. I mean, it doesn't make any sense why it's there, other than it's just, like, a reminder to get a computer and then watch it that way.
Yeah. I don't know why they designed it that way.
It's dumb. But I think that was kind of, like, our main rants for, really, how it's publicly out there. Like, yeah, you know, I think your best bet is to... I mean, we kind of went the route of the Naya website, and at least I did, so I got it that way. And the 720 quality I got was fine. It's a horrible subs, fan sub, a.k.a. they just rip it off Daisuke and plaster the name on it anyway, so who cares?
Yeah, and of course, since it's that site, they don't even include the dub on there, so we only watch the Japanese version.
Yeah, the Japanese is pretty good, too. And, I mean, I assume that the dub is probably going to come to Baka BT eventually when they have, like, all the episodes out, so they'll just compile them together in, like, a 20-gig file or whatever. But at least you get the dub that way for not paying for it. Yeah. But, yeah, I thought the voice acting in this was really good. And I know you asked me about, like, if the original Zabi family, their voices were still in this, and I'm not even sure about that because, like, I know some Gundam voice actors have passed away since the show came out. And... I mean, like, really, there hasn't... I mean, other than... I mean, really, all the Zabi family died in the first series, and they don't even come back in the other shows or anything like that. So this is the first time they've been in a Gundam series since the original one. But I don't even know if it's the same voice actors. I don't think they are. I wouldn't imagine them to be.
Yeah, I don't know about it either. But I mean, for a lot of the characters, they're so much younger, and the voice actors are so much older now that I would think that they probably have recast them.
I feel like they recasted them too.
And
because like Guren kind of sort of sounds the same as his original voice actor. And it's probably the same guy, too. I mean, I guess we should probably be more professional and look this up, but I'm sure it's on A&N, and you can kind of compare and everything.
Yeah.
But
I'm pretty sure that I saw the list of the English voice actors on A&N.
Yeah, that was, because they did an article about it, but I didn't really do, like, a cross-reference kind of thing, and I don't mean to be hitting my mic, I'm sorry.
I think that with the English ones, they are different, because it's recorded at a different studio, I think.
Yeah, we don't have the same Char voice actor that we've had in the other series and everything. And it's not the Steve Blum one from the Gundam VHS movie compilation, but it's, I can't think of the guy's name off the top of my head, but he's got that distinctive voice of like, oh, that's the voice of Char or whatever, if you ever hear him. And like, clearly they got someone else to do him. But like in the 7-minute preview that we saw for the dub, like I liked it. And I was like, yeah, this is whoever's voicing Char is not bad at all. I like this.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to see the dub at some point, because I'm just curious about it. There's not many New York dubs like that anymore. They had a lot of the New York voice actors who, you know, the unionized New York voice actors who never get work anymore because they're so expensive, like Veronica Taylor from Pokemon.
Well, I mean, it is a union, so that explains it.
Exactly. I mean, Funimation, since season 3 of Dragon Ball Z, has only used non-union labor. And they're the main anime dubbing, company these days. So
yeah, yeah. There's several people out there that can complain about unions in general. And I don't know. Maybe there was like a union in the Republic of Munzo or whatever. Probably so. But I will say this. Like, I liked what I saw in this. I have no complaints about it. And I think when I read the manga, it's just going to be really interesting. And like, oh, if they cut some things out, it's probably for time or just like, you know, it's not. Yeah, it probably wasn't really too relevant to add it in there. But you, like you said, like it's pretty much a shot by shot, taken from that part of the volume 5 in Gundam, the origin that we got in the States. So it seems like it's a super faithful adaptation.
From what I saw, just reading through it again, just skimming, it looked like the first scene with Zeon Daikun talking about his plans for his speech about seceding from the Earth Federation. Mm-hmm. That was a little later in the manga. Mm-hmm. It's like a flashback, but this version of Gundam the Origin seems to want to place all the events in chronological order instead of having this be like a flashback within a flashback like it is in the manga.
That kind of does make sense too. So like, and the way they ran it in the anime is I thought it looked pretty chronological. They didn't really do a flashback in this.
Right. Yeah, it was all told in order, and so I thought it worked well enough. And it makes sense for them to start with this part of the manga. Because if they're going to adapt one part of the manga, it should be the part that's the most different from the original anime, because the other part is mostly similar to the original anime, and there's like unique parts of the other parts of the origin, of course, and it's worth adapting later on. But this is probably the part that needs to be adapted the most, because it's a original story about Zeon before the 1 year war, to kind of explain why they
rose to power and everything.
Yeah, why the 1 year war happened and what the power dynamics are with the Zabbies and the Rawls and the Daikuns and all of that, and the past of Char and Sayla, which was never really fully developed in the show. So I think that this was probably the best part to adapt to begin with. So
because it's interesting, because they're adapting this, and you know, it's in the manga to tell this backstory, and you know, like it's apparent in the original series that there's a backstory why Char is killing the zombies off one by one. But it's like, okay, he's got personal revenge, but like what really happened in detail on that? Like what was the real story? So it's like with Gundam the Origin, it's kind of like the Star Wars trilogy. Like we're getting like, you get into the really good part, like, you know, the original story, but then like there's the backstory that we really don't get a whole lot of explanation to. And then it's now being retold 35 years later. Yeah, let's see, 79. Yeah, so like 35 years later. And it's pretty interesting that they're like, you know, doing this now. And clearly it's Gundam's not going to go anywhere for probably 50 years at this point. Who knows? But but it's a story that like needs to be like that detailed, because like when it comes to the Gundam universe, like there's so much there that you can add and insert that it's going to build upon the story of whatever they did originally. So, and it's really between like the 1 year war and say like about Victory Gundam that you can add as many stories and side stories as you want. It's kind of like if you took all of like every event and war and battle of World War II, and it's like the same aesthetic. You can like, I mean, someone can make up a battle about World War II, and like if they made it convincing enough, we would all believe it because it was such a grand scale thing. And this is the same as his universe, which is really interesting.
I mean, they have added in a lot of stuff that kind of tells you about like which zombies felt which way towards Char at this point. Like some of them really seem to want him dead, and some of them not so much. And it really comes back to bite them because they end up getting killed partially because of him. Like Cassilia gets killed by Char later on. She probably should have just killed him when they got in that confrontation in this, if she wanted to save her own life later on.
Yeah, she done screwed up then, and I mean that's kind of like the ripple effect happening, like for Char to really, or Castfall to really like despise Cassilia, because she's like has this power dominatrix thing about her where she's in total control clearly by her family and everything, the zombies, and so now she's trying to like exert her power and like, you know, like flex her muscles in front of him, and he's not taking it at all. He's just like, no, this is a bunch of bullcrap. You have no right to talk to me. Yeah, I'm pretty much like was going to be the heir of this entire government, and I know you killed my father and murdered him. And granted, like it's all an accusation, but it's pretty apparent that there's like, you know, they obviously they did it, but like we didn't really, I guess like they poisoned him or whatever, but it really wasn't like them putting the poison in whatever really killed him. But like it's assumed enough that you know that they killed him.
Yeah, I mean the way this story is written, you're supposed to assume that the zombies killed him so that they could take power for themselves because his children were young.
Yeah, but it's them already admitting it in it, because they're like, because you got Jim Baral, who's just like, I know what's going on. Don't buy this BS from the zombies and everything, because they're going to wipe you out. And, you know, it's like his conspiracy that it's them killing them. But then, like, you have them talking, and it's like, yeah, we need to get rid of their kids, because I believe pretty much what Jimba is telling them is that, I mean, they know the truth. At least Jimba knows the truth. And we're trying to tell the public that it's, like, an issue from the Federation, and eventually the truth is going to come out somehow. So they're trying to orchestrate this like this riot thing to go against the Rawl family and everything, which was really interesting. And also, like in the manga, are you able to explain that that really old woman that was just like really upset at Zeon or Daikun's wife because like she's able to bear his children and this old bat wasn't? Because that seemed like her biggest thing is she was bitter because like she like loved Daikun. But like I guess she couldn't bear any children, and she, you know, she's accusing Castfall's mother basically that like, oh, you're just a harlot or whatever that he fell for, and you're able to bear his children. Why is that? It's so unfair or whatever.
Yeah, well, from what I can tell, basically she's some sort of political figure in Zeon that was, you know, in love with Zeon Daikun, and she was too old to be able to conceive children, and so she wasn't able to give birth to Char and Sayla. So instead, Zeon Daikun impregnates whatever their mother's name is.
It was like, it seemed like they called her Australia or Austria or something, but it's like Ostia.
Okay.
I think that's how they spelt it in the sub.
Sure. That's instead he goes with her, and she doesn't really seem to. I guess she thinks that this old Xeon woman seems to think that she's not very bright and doesn't really understand what's going on, and but she's willing to protect her anyway from the zombies in the secluded tower for, I guess, about 10 years until she can go to Earth after things settle down, or that's what they expect will happen. But of course, we know that the zombies don't settle down. They instead end up going to war with Earth and getting all of themselves killed.
Yeah, and like by having them in that tower, it's just like a political asylum that they wouldn't be able to do. They just grew up there in seclusion, and like they're just, it's basically them like being imprisoned in their own government or republic and exile in the middle of the colony. So it's just like, so that's why, like, you know, you got Ramba and Haman that basically bust them out, and so they can actually like have a normal life and everything. And it's, you know, it sucks that their mom stayed behind. And I mean, I don't want anything too much spoiled to me and everything, but
I know they cover. They really like try to emphasize that how unfortunate the children are for having to deal with all of the zombies' political machinations, that they killed their father, and then their mother has to be. Millions of miles away from them in outer space while they go to Earth, and they show like how upset Sayla is by it all, and how she doesn't want to go to sleep because when she wakes up the mother is going to be away from her. So you can really get a sense of Sayla's loneliness in all three volumes of the past arc, because You get to gradually see everyone she loves taken away from her because of the zombies, which really, I think, makes it greater apparent how evil they are and the human effect of the war they started on Sayla.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the things that Yasuhiko does better than the original, because you don't really see as much in the original how much suffering is caused by the zombies. It's just kind of a lot of space battles without you really getting to see the consequences as much on a human scale.
It's the human scale on a surface level, but it doesn't really go any deeper than that. Whereas in this, it does. Like, it's able to cut to the bone, and like how it affects every single individual person in the Gundam universe, especially around between the Daikun family and the zombies and everything, and what they're able to achieve in their uprising and taking over Side 3.
Yeah. So this has some premonitions of the future arcs with it shows the first meeting of Garma and Char at the funeral of Xeon Daikun, although all they really do is meet their eyes. But then later on, of course, we get to see I don't know if I should spoil too much, but you get to see what Garma and Char do in their early years in the military in later volumes.
Oh, like boot camp and everything? That starts out, I think, in the sixth book, which is what I skimmed through when I got it from my girlfriend from Christmas. So,
yeah, so that's a very interesting arc, and I'm looking forward to seeing that get animated. With this one, it was almost all... almost all story other than that space battle at the start, which they tossed in just because it wouldn't be Gundam without space battles, right? But they had to include that because you need some sort of action in a Gundam series, and it was a pretty cool-looking thing, I thought. I know a lot of people hated it, but I thought that the mechs looked pretty cool, and you get to see a little battle that was never shown before in the manga. So it's like something for the people who are fans of the manga that wanted to see a little more of UC Gundam space battles that was never seen before. So I thought it was cool.
So what are the people on AM like, Gundam level suits can't look good in CG. They gotta be cell animated, and that's how they really move and function in the world of Gundam. And Gunkank's arms are not gray, you're blue.
I think it's just the usual bitching about filler. Anything that's even slightly different than the source material to try to make it more visually dynamic is evil because it's destroying the original content material. Boo hoo hoo, it's filler, it doesn't add anything, blah blah blah, all the usual crap you see from whiny anime fans on the internet. I mean, I just can't take the filler argument seriously in this case or in most cases because it's just so, like, close-minded. They don't even consider, like, the actual merits of the battle. They just say, oh, this wasn't in the original, so it must be shit. And they just don't even consider anything further than that because they don't have the mental capacity to think about things rationally beyond just, was it in the original or wasn't it? That's all I need
but
to know.
It wasn't in the original manga by Tomino or anything. Like, it's like, no, it's not, because it didn't get that far. But now Yasuhiko gets to expand on it, and it gets to be more and more deeper. And that's exactly what Gundam fans should really, really want. So, STFU, GTFO.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about filler, all of this anime is filler because it wasn't in the original Mobile Suit Gundam, if that's the way you want to think about it. But this adds more to Yasuhiko's.
That's bullcrap. I mean, yeah.
And Yasuhiko has added more to Tomino. It's just adding level upon level of additional depth and development to the 1 year war. And you see, it's like you said about World War II, there's just an infinite amount to know and to show, and it can just be developed more here than in the manga. And so that's fine, you know? I mean, I don't have any objections to that first scene at all.
Yeah, you're building on something that already exists. You're not trying to formulate or change anything within the universe or, like, trying to expand it out or anything like that. It's, I mean, I think, but I mean, like, I would love it for some stupid punk kid to tell a World War II story and that, like, oh, I really believe that Battle of the Bulge was just a filler arc in the World War II. And then, like, you got the like this PhD professor beating the damn shit out of him, out of his arrogance. It's like, no, that really happened. That was not filler by Hitler or whatever, or by freaking Eisenhower. That's like freaking, like, saying, like, Band of Brothers is filler arc for, like, World War II documentaries. Or, like, it's like, shut up. I mean, like, you think I'm like exaggerating this, but, like, that's about the same level. Am I wrong? I don't know.
No, it's true. I mean, it's ridiculous, the filler obsession that people have on the internet. They can't think about things at all. They just want to say, oh, this is not blah blah blah, I don't like it because it's not like in blah blah blah, you know. It's just so annoying.
I could build upon, like, World War II and filler arc in generals or something. Like, That's an endless, like, stupid joke that they can extend on. I just don't have the energy for it right now. But I think I've made my point.
Yeah, so. I mean, people understand what we're trying to say here, I'm sure, unless they actually happen to hate this because they think it's filler, and then nothing will change their mind.
On the bottom line, this is not filler. This is just, the Gundam is so deep that you can still add to it, as long as it's within the context of the original story, and this clearly proves it. So, if you disagree, comment, and bite me. So, I have a feeling I am going to share this episode to the people on that MAHQ Facebook page, so that would be interesting to see what their responses are. I always like giving other Mecha stuff, because I figure we get more listeners, but I think they listen and they're like, these fans. And I'm like, yeah, that's... I just kind of share it on there, and you're welcome to agree if you want to. Just leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you don't, like, antagonize them in the description so much that they won't even listen. I mean, they got really pissed off about that seed description, and they wouldn't even watch the episode. Remember that?
Yeah, I shouldn't have been that descriptive. I just gave my opinion, but it's like, I can expand more on my opinion if you listen to the podcast of that 2 hours.
Yeah.
Of me talking. We dissect the heck and talk about those, like, compilation movies, which pretty much sums up all of Gundam Seed. So, you know, they're like, yeah, if you read the description, you're like, well, that's all I need to know. It's like, well, why don't you listen to it? I mean, there were some things about Seed I did like, surprisingly.
Yeah,
I mean,
we didn't
but that was
bash
very
it the whole
little.
Time. And yet they were acting like we did because they read the description and it wasn't like, this is the greatest anime ever. And so they got all upset because that's what they think. Because I guess they're too young to have seen any of your older Gundams, or
I think these people that saw that in the Facebook comments were like in their mid 20s or about my age, and they're still like that butthurt over it. It's just like, grow the freak up. I mean,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, how I write these is I give a little bit of, I try to not give too much of my opinion, but at least I have a setup of like where we kind of stand. But then it's like, you listen to it, or we listen to this, and then we're going to expand a whole lot more on that. And so that we'll say everything we need to say in this episode. And I think the few, I mean, like, one of the cool things I liked was the fact that, like, Rumble Rao used a machine gun for, like, crowd control. Because they're trying to, like, evacuate. Because, yeah, I didn't even know, like, the Zombies had another brother, which is interesting. And, of course, He goes and gets assassinated.
Sasuro Zombie, who's in it for, like, 20 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, Dozo comes out of it by, like, drop-kicking the door out, and he's just, like, blood screaming out. He's like, he's been assassinated! Who did it? Motherfucker, I'm going up! I'm hulking out on you! Where are you at? Dozo does not play around. I love that man.
Yeah, Dozo really gets his chance to shine in these past volumes.
Yeah, so, and yeah, he comes out of, like, the, like, into, like, when they're discussing the riots and everything over the Rowls, like, he comes out of there and you, like, call them, like, Mummy. Mummy Dozel.
Oh, yeah, because he's covered in bandages.
He's like, I'm like, Dozel, you need to sleep. No, I'm good. Let's go fight some people. I just gotta fight.
And then when he goes out there, he, his face, like, bursts open and starts bleeding everywhere.
He turns into the freaking Hulk and is like, his stitches explode, and just blood gushes out of it. And he's like, you can't hurt them kids! And then, like, and then Eventually they get the call of, like, okay, you can hurt the kids. God bless their souls.
I was surprised that Cassilia lets them actually get away at the end of the first episode here, but yeah. I guess they figured that the other cargo was too important for them to stop them from getting away or something. I don't know.
I think with her, it's just like sort of a threat. I mean, like, it was just her threatening Raul, and Raul and Ramba, Raul is just, and Haman are just like, whatevs. I mean, do what you gotta do. You're not gonna do anything. So, and like, they still escaped. So, because that's what I was expecting. Like, I didn't read the manga, so I didn't know what was going to happen next, which surprised me, which is why I like this so much. Yeah. So, like I said earlier, it's like, it's good for me to watch this first, and then I can read the manga and just kind of take in what they felt, you know, whatever they took out, which, I mean, I got a really good, like, head on my shoulders on what they're telling me about, and I'm happy with how they're, from the way you're saying and, you know, what I looked at, like, I'm happy on how they did this.
Yeah, I was pretty satisfied with how this turned out.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of, I mean, I know when I read 5, we're going to, well, I mean, when we read 5, or whenever we get around to reviewing that, maybe next year, who knows, but I'll definitely, like, kind of talk about, like, what I remember in 5 and what I read about and everything. So, and again, this is, like, the first third of it that they adapted into an hour-long OVA, which is still really good, so. So, I don't know, like, do you have anything else you want to add to this?
No, not really. I mean, I think we covered most of the story. I mean, we talked about the scene with the old lady. We talked about when Zeon is killed. We talked about, well, I guess we didn't talk about when Char is piloting the tank and
He's able to take out the 4 gun tanks and everything. I guess this is kind of him being the protege of, like, what he's going to become. And then you got Ramba Rao that's, like, doing everything he can to blockade, like, the Federation tank platoon or whatever, and then he's just like out there taking a smoke break, like, well, we don't have an extra tire, guess you're just gonna have to get a tow truck. And then, like, 2 minutes later, the car is like driving through the city, which is just like, I assume was just all a stunt anyways. But, like, and this movie had some like really dumb comedic moments, but, like, it was still really funny and entertaining to watch, so I don't hate on that either.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
Like, the thing about the cat, Lucifer.
Yeah, the cat scratching up his face, Robert All's face, that was... Yeah. I think that might not have been in the manga, that might have been filler, but it was just like a 20-second little gag scene with him trying to get the cat, and kind of cartoony animation,
Yeah, that's the animators having fun with this, and that's okay to do that.
Yeah, I don't mind
that. It didn't take away anything from this. So yeah. It's fine.
And the scene with them in zero gravity with the cat floating around and stuff, I don't mind that stuff. I mean, it's just a few seconds.
Yeah, that's just fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not...
This is anime. You could do more with it because stuff moves in animation.
Right.
Have at it.
I mean, if I take the filler attitude literally, none of the in-between animation should even exist. It should just be a bunch of still images.
It would be like the attack on half of Attack on Titan.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably the favorite anime for people who hate filler, Attack on Titan.
I like my anime with no key animators or animation part of it. Okay, so you're just going to watch, like, manga scans the anime. It's essentially what you're saying. Like, would you might as well just go on YouTube and watch the YouTube videos of people that, like, scan manga and put it up on there. Or just go to Manga Fox or read actual manga. Don't even have a TV. Don't even have a DVD player or a computer or anything that has a video app. Because you don't need that when you watch your anime. Oh, no, sir.
Yeah, just read the manga if you hate adaptations so much. That's what I don't get about the people who are so upset about this. If the original is perfect and they shouldn't change anything, then why even watch an animated version of it? Just read the original every single minute of your life for the rest of your life, and you'll be happy.
Yeah, just revert yourself back to like the late 19th century before video production was ever created, and you will live a happy and satisfying life. So,
just pretend the printing press is the most recent invention of mankind. Ignore the CGI, ignore the animation, ignore the video stuff. Just look at books and ignore that stuff exists if you hate
Get
it so much.
For Emperor! Oh, man. Freaking anime fans, that's all I can say.
Exactly.
No, I think they're not really anime fans if they can't watch anime, so they're manga fans. And those are apparently a dying breed, I think. So, but people still read manga.
Yeah. But it seems like a lot of manga, the big manga, are ending recently. And so I don't know if it's going to stay as big a thing as it was.
Yeah, GoGo 13's ending, I know that. Well, I mean, they're bringing back a Naruto thing. Naruto ended. Everyone knows that. I don't know what else is ending.
Well, I was mainly thinking about Naruto and GoGo 13, like you said, but I didn't... I don't know. There were some other ones. It seems like every time I log on to ML, there's something on the main page on the little news bar saying such and such manga is ending, and half the time I haven't heard of it, but it just seems like it's constant that there's always stuff ending. I don't know. Maybe it's just not as profitable now with how many other forms of entertainment there are, with video games, anime, internet. Just there's so many other things that are more like visually stimulating than still images.
Anyways, we're going to be repeating the argument we made 5 minutes ago, so I'm just going to shut up.
Yeah, I think
I had to bite my tongue there because I'm like, no, I'm not going to repeat it. I know exactly where that's going.
So. I think we're done here, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, so Gundam the Origin, check. Yeah, the anime is really good. I'd say if you haven't read part 5 yet, like I haven't because I'm that lazy, it's still fun to watch. It's really good to see, so definitely check it out. And if you have read it, just take it for what it is and don't be too mad because, come on, there's more to life than getting mad over anime adaptations or manga adaptations.
Right. I mean, if you like the original story, you should be glad about this because it's a new animated Gundam thing that's expanding the story of Gundam and telling Yasuhiko's story to the millions of new people who've probably never read the manga. And it's
hopefully
going
to
make a lot of money
for
Sunrise. It should be a good thing for Gundam fans, but people have to complain about it.
Yeah, because this is another reason for Sunrise to keep the Gundam train and robot going. So, and the gears keep moving by getting new people into it by like, oh, they adapted this manga that came out a decade ago that they're animating. Well, what's this Gundam about? And like, so now that kind of really brings into question, if someone like maybe 5 years from, like when they finish up Origin, you know, should someone, if they got and they want to get into Gundam from the beginning, do you make them watch Origin first, or do you make them start from the original and go to Origin? So, oh. but there's so much. Oh, because I stated something that everyone's going to be debating over for generations. So sorry.
That's interesting, because it's like how people these days, they don't know whether to watch, after they finish Mobile Suit, whether to watch, you know, Igloo and 0080 and W83, and before they watch Zeta and 08MS Team and all the other stuff. But I guess that's going to be the new controversy, is whether they should watch it in production order or chronological order or whatever. But
I think the best way to handle that is just up to your own discretion. As long, and you have to look at it from a this is just my opinion, so don't flame war against. We haven't even gotten a flame war yet. I would love it if we had it, but I mean, it's kind of at your own discretion on where you should start. Like for me, I got my girlfriend into watching, or we started with the first Gundam compilation movie, which she was really tired when she saw that, so she fell asleep halfway through it. And in a way, I don't really blame her, but we got the other two to watch, and we'll eventually get to that. But I mean, like, I'm having her start with that from, like, the original, and I mean, unless Origin's been out already, then we'll probably go straight to Origin, and then that kind of fills in a little bit of the backstory. But also there's the fact that's like, I think if someone is starting out with Gundam and they absolutely love it and they want to know more about it and they're like, they got their hooves into it, like they're certain about staying with Gundam, then you can have them check out the Origin. And apparently like with, I guess like with Gundam Unicorn, like I know Daryl Surratt mentioned that, let me think about how to, like, it basically, he just said like Unicorn sort of sums up like the Gundam, all the rest of the Gundam series briefly, and they give you what you need to know by the time it gets to the timeline of Unicorn, and I'm not too sure about that, but I would have to rewatch all of Unicorn again, which I really haven't done it since we started reviewing it and watching it, you know, 4 years ago on the Cool Kids Club podcast.
Yeah, I don't think Unicorn is really that self-explanatory, because people might not know.
I didn't feel like it was either, because we'd watch it, and then I would forget months later or a year later, like, what happened the last episode.
Yeah.
It was like, I would just say I remember it being good, but like I just can't, and like maybe I'm just not a big enough fan of Gundam anymore to go back and rewatch every single thing again before the new one comes out, like Andy and Jeff from the Daily Anime Podcast, what they do.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen like Zeta and Double Zeta, you might not know about who Princess Maneva Zabi is or why the Zeons are even in conflict with the Federation or all sorts of things. I think that Unicorn, you should watch the other stuff before you watch it.
Yeah, I guess it's just kind of, it's partially chronological, but it's also like, I think, part of the series too. And then going back to my opinion, like I mean the best way, I think I kind of stated this when I did that Gundamology panel like, you know, a year and a half ago at Banzaicon, is I just kind of looked at it as like, you know, I went by the timeline period of when stuff came. I did it by when the production timeline came out, and then I kind of suggested, if you're going to watch the eras, just take it bit by bit and don't overdo it yourself. So like, if you're interested, then like, you got the compilation movies that are really good. It's something quick, you can get through it quicker than the series, you're going to get more out of the series. But you know, just start with those, and if you like it, go from there. Go to the OVAs. You know, I would say go to 0080 next, and then 0083. I mean, yeah, the animation is going to change because it's, but I mean, I think you want to go to 8MS Team by the time probably you finish the movies or the series or something. But yeah, I mean, like, it gives you, but, and just kind of, it's at your own discretion. That's all I'm going to say. But as long as you're still invested in Gundam, I mean, that's a good sign. So, you know, at least it keeps your interest and it keeps money flowing to Sunrise and Bandai. So like, and eventually, like, and, you know, like I said, I think once you finish the movies and you're that deep into it, then go back and, like, you know, if Origin is out, like, you know, or depending whatever's out, or if you want to wait till all of it comes out, then you can go and watch that to get the fill in the backstory behind the original series.
Yeah, I mean, I would say do take it bit by bit, because I don't know if you've been seeing these things that Cloud posts on the chat with this guy called Pancake Paradox, but he, like,
oh yeah,
he watched like hundreds of UC episodes within the span of maybe a month or so.
Yeah, and he was just like, I hate Gundam, why am I still watching this? It's like, I know what your problem is. It's called, you're watching everything at once. you're doing it wrong. Don't do that. That's why you hate yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You can get too much of any one series if you watch it too quickly. You gotta pace yourself. I know that's something that people are bad at with watching stuff these days. They're all obsessed with binge watch because they have nothing better to do. But you really gotta get some other hobbies than anime. You can't just watch 500 episodes in 1 month. That's not the right way to handle it.
Yeah, take up like playing video games, or maybe better yet, and this is a guilt. This is something I'm guilty of too. Guilty of it too. But find something to do outside.
Yeah.
Take the fat dog you have in your house for a walk for once of his in his life, or get a dog.
Yeah. Although with how many anime fans are furries, I'm not sure I should recommend that. Might be bad for the dog.
All right. Well, I think that's all we want to say on Gundam the Origin, and it's good to have an in-depth Gundam talk again, because like I love it when we talk about the original, something in the original series and bringing this back, because this is what we've been discussing on AIM and still to this day for so many years, and we're not the only people.
Yeah. I mean, this is a series that's, you know, got millions of fans. It's only going to get more because of Origin, I think. It's very good that there's finally a new Gundam dub coming out after all these years.
Yeah.
I mean, the last one that came out, I guess, was Unicorn, but other than that, you know, there wasn't any since, I guess, 00. But all the series lately have been, you know, skipped over in America. There was no dub for Age or the Build Fighters or the Build Fighters sequel or G-Reco. But I think that if this does well enough, and if Right Stuff's DVDs do well enough, you know, maybe Gundam is going to get a revival here. More shows get dubbed.
Yeah, and then all those freaking scalpers on Amazon will have to like check up. Won't have to charge like $400 for the OVA of 8th MS Team.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's
which is ridiculous. I mean,
it's going to be good to get some of this stuff back in print when Right Stuff re-releases some of the original.
Yeah,
series.
That's true.
And right. I guess we should do closing remarks now, huh? What was yours before we do the Christian thing?
Okay, well, I was going to tell you about the when I went to that comic book shop in Athens a couple weeks ago. I don't know, because I remember ranting about it on the chat that night. And so there was like Valentine's Day, so my girlfriend rode with we all rode with my parents to go to Athens because my dad wanted to go check it out, and I was there 4 years ago. To with some friends to go to like a game store that they don't really exist anymore, Play and Trade, at least in this area. And and so like there's the place we went to was like right next to UGA, and there was they have a comic book shop there called like Bizarre Luxury, and like I saw it a few years ago and I was like wanted to check it out, but we didn't have time. And so like then I remember when we were there and when we parked, it was like a block away, so I was like, oh, awesome, you know, I get to go check this out. And so I was in there, and like if you're looking for a genuine comic book shop, I was impressed with what they have in the selection in terms of comics and everything. I was able to find the one issue of Dork that I was missing that was basically the comic about or based off the plot for Eltingville Club. So I've got my Dork collection, I think, totally complete on that. So I'm good about that. but they had like a section over on the side, which is kind of like this cluttered flea market mess that I think is just kind of like their crap room that's just open to whoever wants to get something in there. And they had anime items there. And I was like, oh, cool. And because I even asked the guy, and he was just like, yeah, we got some stuff there. And if you can find it, you know, we might have a price on it. So like behind inside this glass case, they have like this retro looking Mazinger Z toy for like $17. And they had like a Dragonair figure that's probably maybe a few years old it's like one of those customizable, like add a bunch of parts and change out everything, and they wanted like $60 for it. And well, the only really unique thing that I saw in there that I remember was they have a retro Devilman figure from like the 70s, and it was still sealed and everything in this plastic bag, and I guess they don't know what the value is, so their mindset and marketing is to jack up the price however they want. And so they wanted like $125 for this toy, and I'm just like, that can't be right. But at the same time, if I was the eBay, there's no chance of it being listed online because it's so rare. So they figured, like, we'll just come up with a price, and if someone's stupid and crazy enough to get it, then they'll pay that much. That's a giant Devilman fan, which, you know, good luck finding those people.
Yeah. A lot of the Devilman merchandise that I see here, I see it, like, year after year. At the collector's marketplace, they have this little Kubrick minifigure of Devilman, and they have some figures at local cons that I've seen. But they always have it. They never sell it, and it's probably because they're overpricing it.
Yeah, well, I've got one, and like it's the vintage Devilman Kubrick, and then there's the one that they did off the OVAs, and the one off the OVAs I believe is worth more than the vintage one.
I think there was a vintage one that I saw.
Okay, yeah, because I think I looked that one up on eBay, and it was like, I think it was listed for 30, and I've tried selling it for that price, and no one wants it. But it's just kind of like, I'm just kind of like, well, because I paid like $5 for that at another comic book shop near my university a few years ago before, you know, I went to college. And like, I'm just kind of like, well, I mean, I don't, and now I'm kind of like, well, I don't really want it. But then like with the TV series coming out on DVD from Discotech, I might as well just go ahead and hang on to it or whatever. But I mean, I've tried getting rid of it the past couple years at like Animazement, and people look at it and they just like don't care. But so what was interesting was the fact that also like they had a big box of like Getter One like in the back corner, like collecting dust. I don't know how long it's been back there, but it looked like maybe like a Chogokin figure or something. But and that was something else I asked this guy working there, who was just like, yeah, we don't have a price on that. I don't really know what we're going to sell it for, but I can tell it's been back there for years. And so then I was kind of just looking for, like, I was trying to find Laserdisc, and I came across a vintage, like 1/100th Shars Gelgoog. That's like, it was one of those 80s kits and everything. And like, it was in this battered box that I think a bunch of newspapers and crap has been sitting on it for like 2 decades. And I looked at it and I opened it up, and like, nothing has been built. All the parts are there and the pieces is all shrink wrapped. And I was like, okay, well, I might get like, maybe I can get like a few bucks for this or haggle for it or something. There's no price on it. And so then I go up to the counter and ask the guy about it, and he's just being such a dick. Because he was looking on – okay, here's what he did. He went on he was just like, well, I'm not too knowledgeable about it, but let me see what I can – the best thing I can find. He goes on Amazon and starts comparing prices with, like, new Master Grade figures. Like, brand-new figures. And I'm looking – I'm trying to help him out looking at this. He's like, is this it? And I'm like – and he was looking at, like, a Char Zaku. Like a Master Grade Charizaku, and he's just like, no, I don't think that's it. I said, no, dude, that's not it.
He was looking at the wrong robot.
Exactly, yes. And he's just like, I'm not too knowledgeable about this. And I was like, well, what if I offer you like $3 or $5 or something? And he's just like, oh man, I don't know. And then he gives me the dumbest reason I've ever heard. And maybe this is just comic book jargon, but he's just like, well, we'll just use it as like store furniture because we don't mind having it here. So can you explain to me, like, why comic book shops like having crap around and consider it furniture for people to look at and not have a price on, so, or unless they want to charge them? So, I guess that's it. Like, that's their gimmick to, like, if you really want it, we'll give you, like, $80 for it. The box is battered as hell. Like, I've gotten better model kits and better box designs, like, for less than $10 before. Like, it's garbage, and I made an offer for him. But he said, like, he had to contact the owner, and, like, he's like, we'll give you a call in a couple hours. I never got a call back, and I assumed they would never call me anyways. I was like, whatever. But that just kind of sort of pissed me off, and I guess that's still these, like, 90s version comic book politics that they still use today, which is just garbage.
Yeah, I guess they just wanted to keep it around to keep their newspapers on top of it or whatever. It doesn't seem to make much sense that they would want to hold on to it since it's been there for years gathering dust and no one is going to buy it other than you.
It's furniture for people like dumb people like me that want to buy it or something. And like I guess like it's a I think it's a conversation piece because then that like, gives people to talk to them about stuff or just them to kind of like throw up all this like dumb, you know, stupid knowledge or whatever. But, and then also like he was explaining to my girlfriend, the whole movie rights about Spider-Man transferring over to Disney. And so, like, I was trying to find a nice way to, or I was trying to make sure that he wasn't going to condescend her, because there's something about nerd guys and them trying to talk to girls, or, you know, I think girls in general, but, like, my girlfriend's nerdy like me, so she knows more about comics than I do. And I, you know, of course I don't mind. I don't have to compete with her on that. It's just like, well, that's your shtick and that's perfectly fine. But she kind of got sort of, we're having a conversation that started where she kind of got confused in the movie rights because she thought Spider-Man was a DC character. Because of the fact that she knows, like, the, I think she kind of compared it, the movie putting out, or the company, the studios putting out, like, the DC movies was the same thing as a Spider-Man, or the ones putting out Spider-Man. So she got confused there, and I was just like, no, Spider-Man's a Marvel character, and like, she, and she was just trying to understand. I was, like, making sure she understood. I wasn't, like, trying to, you know, bring her down or anything on that. And I was just like, you know, I'm like, she's just a little bit confused, and it's fine. But I know the guy came in there, so I was just kind of being like very particular on what he was going to say. And he just starts rambling on about all the movie rights from like Canon Films and how they acquired like the Marvel rights like 30 years ago or whatever. And he just gave this entire backstory on it because that's all this guy ever knows.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Sony has had it for a long time, so.
Yeah, because it went from Canon to Sony, picked it up eventually, so.
Yeah, they don't seem to want to give up Spider-Man, but there's some, I guess the new thing that that brought this up was that he's going to be in Marvel movies, like the Avengers movies and stuff from now on.
Yeah, and what I understand from Spider-Man, he was an Avenger at one point, so it makes sense to put him in like an Avengers movie.
Yeah, because for a long time they didn't have him in the Avengers, but I think about 10 years ago they finally put him in there, so. I think that now he's considered like one of the big Avengers that they want to. I mean, with how Downey Jr. as Iron Man is leaving those movies, and I think Thor and Captain America are also leaving them. They had to get Spider-Man in there to get, you know, to get people in to watch it and everything.
Yeah, but it was just like, I don't know. Like I guess I wasn't too impressed with that comic book shop. Maybe if I'm ever in there and the guy who actually owns the place is there, and I happen to see that same Gogu model kit still sitting there, which is I'm pretty sure it still will be, then maybe I can like talk to him and be like, hey, how much can I buy this for? I mean, how much would you be willing to sell it for? I mean, it's kind of battered, and maybe I might be able to get a decent offer out of it. Like, you know, if it's less than like $6, I'll take it. I mean, I don't mind.
I don't think they're gonna sell it if they didn't even call you back.
Yeah, I just kind of got pissed over that. I was just like, I was like, yeah, only I would know something about this, and maybe that's why I can't work at a comic book store or any kind of nerd place, because it's just like I would if I work for someone who's just like gonna be an overpricing jerk and everything and won't push or sell merchandise. I guess in a way they think like, oh, you know, if they really want it, they'll spend this much. But it's just like they can go. And I was trying to tell this guy to go to Hobby Link Japan and like look at the price. I'm like, dude, it's under $5. I'm pretty sure. And he's just like, whoa, I don't know anything about that. And I'm just like, screw off. I'll buy whatever I got from you here. And hopefully I'll never see you again. I don't know.
Did you ever look it up on Hobby Link? Like if you can get it online instead of at this shop?
Well, here's the thing. See, Hobby Link Japan had a huge sale on stuff not too long ago, and I bought a 160 Char Zaku, like the retro kind from the 80s, for $5. And it's a brand new kit, and so like with shipping it was like $15-$16, and it's still on its way here, hopefully. So it's one of those, like, it takes 30 to 40 something days to get here, so it should be arriving any day now, but I got it like a month ago. And I think there's some sort of, like, shipping issues in, like, ports in California or something that might be stopping that. I don't know.
Oh.
But eventually it's going to come in the mail. But, or maybe that's just, like, maybe, like, it's another dispute for certain items or something. I don't know. That just kind of worried me. I was like, well, you know, I paid this for this, you know, for a retro figure that I kind of want to build and everything and put it in my room. And I'm hoping it gets there pretty soon. But I guess, like, if I don't get it, like, maybe the next month, I'll just email Hobby, you know, HJL and be like, hey, I haven't received it yet. What's going on? I think another thing I want to mention in my closing remarks is, so I picked up a new card game called Super Fight. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't heard of this one.
Okay, so Super Fight is a card game where basically you have once, like, half of it is, like, basically, like, either mythical creatures or characters or people or, you know, whoever. And the other half is an ability. And so what you do is you basically, you know, you pick three out of each category and you pick the best one from each one. And you basically what you do is between you and another person, you have to debate on who would win in that fight. So, like, for instance, I played with some people from my church who brought it out. We had fun with this, like, a couple weeks ago, where the last battle was the fact that my youth pastor had a carnivorous plant armed with a Gatling gun versus the other guy who had Keanu Reeves with water balloons filled with acid. And in the environment that they were in is they were both flying helicopters. So they would sit there and debate for 10, 15 minutes on who would win between the two. So it's like this – it's a stupid debate game, but it's a whole lot of fun when you really do it right. And another one was like my brother was playing. So he got like Godzilla with like a crate of loot on a desert island with this carnivorous plant. And everyone voted against him. I voted for him because I knew what Godzilla did, but his thing was like, it's Godzilla, like you should know, but he didn't debate it. So, like, this other guy voted against him just on that sole purpose that he didn't know how to debate.
Wait, Godzilla versus a plant and people voted for the plant?
Yes.
Wow.
It's fun. I've been, like, it's just... But, like, yeah, it's... You can, it's one of those games that's, like, you like it's fun to sort of take seriously. And then, like, afterwards, it's just like, wow, that was really fun. Because I got some really good stories out of that. But, well, it's a plant armed with a Gatling gun. Which... It's mindless eating the machine that knows how to operate a Gatling gun. So keep that in thought. But like when they had the last battle, like they went back and forth. And so like my brother left because he was too frustrated and ticked off over the Godzilla thing. And so it was up to me to make the one vote between them. And I went, okay, Robbie, so you said you were in a helicopter with this plant armed with a Gatling gun. And you're trying to shoot at Keanu Reeves in a helicopter armed with balloons full of acid. And you say you have a person in that helicopter with you with this carnivorous plant that you mentioned is a mindless eating machine. Here's what's going to happen. The plant is going to eat the pilot, and the helicopter is going to crash. And I'm like, so this whole battle between you and how you guys are fighting for the past 15 minutes means absolutely nothing. And he sat there for like a few seconds, and he goes, you know you have a point there. So I actually picked up a deck that's like full of like nerd geek references. Like I think a character is Doctor Who and another is like, you know, like pick a video game character or fantasy character or like Link or whatever. So like I'm waiting to use that deck when we play next time. But yeah, definitely check out Super Fight. And like you can get like the decks were like $15 and you can get like an entire 500 thing, like a starter for like 30, which is about what it'd be if you started like a Magic the Gathering deck or something. So... I'm just kind of throwing that out there. And then also I've been playing a PC game recently called War Thunder, which is basically I've been doing nothing but tank battles, and it's the most satisfying thing ever. And that game's been out for a while. But I think I'm done with closing remarks. That took up a lot of time.
Yeah, I guess that's like the second half of our episode. But, I mean, people should really just watch Gundam The Origin for themselves to see more. I mean, we talked about the main points of it, so
yeah.
And then we had our own stories to tell, which you know you can't just have us summarizing an anime for you. There's got to be other content in each episode.
Yeah, and I put time codes in our post on our website so people can know. Like, I don't want to hear about Gundam the Origin yet. I'll just hear you guys talk about Super Fight and this comic book store, or, you know, vice versa or whatever. So
yeah,
at least it's there to know when to start and stop on your own disclosure, which I think that makes it easier on people.
Yeah.
So yeah, if we're off topic on something, at least it's in the notes about what we talk about. So you're not like ticked off.
Yeah.
But, okay. So one of our three pillars of our podcast structure is, love that Goku, Chris Chan, and Gundam. And we already covering one significantly, so the other one is Chris Chan. So what do you got on the news on that?
But, okay, for Chris Chan, what's happened recently is that the people who orchestrated the whole Katie story from last year, where, if you didn't hear about it, basically what happened is Chris got an OkCupid request from a girl named Katie from Virginia who met with him at an Applebee's along with her cousin.
Doing the horizontal mambo. It was too easy. I had to put that in there, but go ahead.
I don't think there were any ethnic minorities there, as Ghost would say, but but Chris is a sexual minority, a lesbian transgender male.
Lesbian trapped in a soul of a male's body or whatever the heck, I don't know.
Yeah, and that of course came up almost immediately, and the cousin Al is actually one of the trolls on the Quickie forum, and he's been uploading uploading the audio of this date online, and he of course knows all about most of the stuff that Chris talked about, but he did a very good job, I think, of feigning ignorance and acting like he didn't know anything about Chris. And so so he comes in and he's asking, like, what's with the dress and the makeup and the long hair? Who are you? Are you a male or a female? And he's like, well, I'm a lesbian transgender trapped in the body of a man. And oh. And so Al's like, what does this mean? I don't know if you're male or female. If you're a lesbian, does that mean you're a woman? And he's like, well, I happen to be born in a male body, but I have a female transgender soul. My vagina of the soul is truly female, but I happen to have this ugly growth.
It's all 7 inches.
Oh God! And so
I can't wait to hear this thing. But go on.
And so anyway, they just go on and talk about all these embarrassing things about Chris, and this troll doesn't bring any of it up, even though he knows about it and he could ask about it if he wanted to. Chris just voluntarily tells him about all his antics. Like, within a few minutes, he starts talking about the trolls and how they hacked his website and put gay porn on there and all these various Christian adventures. And eventually, he's talking about why he can't get a job. And Al keeps saying that he's going to need to have some income to support his cousin if he ends up marrying her. And Chris is like, oh, I have income, and he's like, okay, what does that mean? You don't have a job, but you have income. And
he, tell!
And then he has to explain that he's on the Social Security disabilities or whatever. And then I was like, oh, so you're on welfare? And he's like, hey, something like that. You know, of course, nobody wants to admit that they're on welfare, but but Chris... then he starts talking about how he can't get a job because he has a criminal record. And I was like, what? What did you do? And then Chris starts talking about the game place thing. And he says
because this took place like September or something. So this is way before the GameStop incident, which is just adding more to that criminal record. I mean,
yeah. So this was before that. Yeah. This was, when he was talking about only Michael Snyder, and he said that Snyder and the police are trolls, and that it's a conspiracy, and that the police were hiding out in Staples waiting for the trap to be sprung, and that this poster that said the game place was under new management was a trick to get him to come in there so that Snyder could get money off of him because he thinks Chris and his mom are rich and wanted to sue them. Even though they're these poor autistic white trash people that have no money. And so Chris just goes on this insane rant conspiracy theory about how Snyder started kicking his car and body slamming it and stuff in order to fake injure himself, which is just total nonsense. Chris rammed into him with the truck. Or whatever, or his mom did, or whoever, whoever attacked the guy with it, and he has to explain all these various times that he did this, and the time that he went in there and recorded Snyder and then yelled at him and called him a Jew. And Al was like, "You did what? Why did you record this? Why did you put it online?" And it's just like, he's acting like a normal person would react to hearing this stuff the first time. I just think he's a great actor.
This is the first I've ever heard of this. What kind of person are you?
Yeah, exactly. And at the end, he basically says, like, what kind of... well, he just is basically saying, you need to get your act together. You need to get some sort of revenue if you're going to support your mother's failing health and get her new teeth and be able to support my cousin and et cetera, et cetera. And Chris says, well, maybe after I move back, I might apply for a job or start the comic again. And of course, it's all BS. No one expects Chris to do any of that. But
he sold like paper mache medallions to people online.
Yeah, he brings that up because he's trying to act like that's his job, like that's something that is equivalent
full time revenue.
Yeah, that's something legitimate that he's doing or whatever. And Chris, Al keeps saying like, okay, so this is some kind of Pokemon thing, but you're ripping off their trademarks and making money off of it? How is this legal? And so Chris is like, well, it's a parody, so it's okay.
I'm like, he must have been like, I'm like a transgender Martha Stewart.
I mean, it's just unbelievable, Chris. Everything about him. Like, he's just telling all these embarrassing stories about himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Just out of nowhere. And he thinks that this stuff is like his marriage audition. Like, they keep...
It's going to land him in the sack.
They keep bringing it up, like, are you marriage material? And he's like, well, yeah, I created the Electric Hedgehog Pokemon.
Who needs a wedding ring when you got the Electric Hedgehog Pokemon?
And he was actually wearing his father's wedding ring, and he's like, well, I had kept this thing in Optimus Prime's grill after my father died for a few years, but then I had to go rescue it during the fire, and now I've been wearing it to keep it from being destroyed from my negligence and burning down the house. But then Katie asks to wear the ring or something, and he's like, maybe I'll think about it down the road. Like,
it belongs to Optimus. I have to ask him first.
Yeah, he's acting like Optimus has some more of a right to this than his future wife.
Oh, God, dude.
Look, I'm more married to a Transformer than to you.
I'm sorry, but Optimus has first dibs, and that's what we agreed upon.
It's just the whole thing is just so funny. And my favorite part, one of my favorite parts anyway, is when Al asks him, so have you been living with your parents this whole time? And Chris says, yeah, I never moved out because the job market has been bad for the last 10 years. And then Al says, oh, okay, well, have you ever, you know, left their house for any period of time or lived anywhere else, tried to rent it somewhere else? And Chris says, well, I went to an anime con one weekend. And he says that like it's a serious accomplishment. And he starts talking about how he went there and stood around and didn't talk to anybody. He says, I was not as social as I am now back then, so I wasn't able to talk to anyone there. But but he stood around at some anime con one time, and that's equivalent to moving out to Chris.
I know that I'm going to have a ball listening to this on my drive to school next week.
Yeah.
So, I cannot wait.
Okay, well,
I'm actually going to Myrtle Beach in like a couple weeks for spring break, so I might actually just save it until then for the 3-hour car ride. So.
Oh, okay, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, there was like the guy who apparently uploaded everything was he put it all on one file, but it was like saying it was missing part 5 or something.
Oh, okay, but, yeah, I listened to that last night, and
how long is the audio?
It's 2 hours, and the okay. The. Part 5 is in there, it's just it hasn't been transcribed yet, so there's no, like, transcript of it, and part of the reason is because there's, like, a birthday party going on in there, so it's hard to tell what's being said at that part.
Okay.
But you can actually hear it just fine, mostly, except for his fake wife is not, like, very easy to hear at times, but... I think one of my favorite parts is also when they're talking about Chris going on dates in the past, because Al is like, okay, so have you had any previous romantic experiences? And he talks about the time he went to the mall and met a troll woman, and the pickle man showed up and took her away from him, and then he screamed and was banned from the mall. He just volunteers this story about the pickle man and is like, has to explain the reason why the guy's dressed up like a pickle. He's like, oh, well, the reason is because one of the Sonichu characters is allergic to pickles, and that's because I don't like pickles. And he just has to explain all this nonsense about pickles to them. And it's like, well, why, Chris? Why?
You see, like, this is an important document for people to hear, and what not to do on a first date.
Exactly. It's like a total fiasco. And I think what happened after that was basically that Katie said that they were not going to get married and that it was going to be an open relationship, and then she went off on a yacht with some guy. And Chris left this guy death threats on his voicemail and said, I'm going to kill you. I send you a curse Yihameha, and you're going to die because I'm going to do my voodoo magic on you, honing in on my territory. And it's just like this guy is just like the perfect. Everything about him is what you should try to avoid being. Like, everything about Chris is just a fiasco. I mean, the criminal record, the constant trespassing, pepper spraying, running people down, resisting arrest, beating people up with pepper spray is just ridiculous. I mean, like, why did he think that's okay at the GameStop? But
you have to understand that Chris's mentality was being assaulted at the GameStop, and the camera, the recording, could not pick up his emotions. So they're going to use that in court with him.
He actually started complaining during the date about how his previous attorney was not good enough because he had them plead guilty even though he was innocent, or so he claims. But, like, he thinks that he can do anything, and that his new attorney is going to be, you know, claiming that Chris was the real victim here because nobody should ever be allowed to be banned from any store for any reason.
Oh, my gosh.
And, Chris posted that on Facebook. He thinks that unless you, like, literally murder someone in a store, you shouldn't be kicked out because public places, everybody's entitled to do whatever they want there. And scare off all the other customers and harass people and vandalize property and start screaming about the blue arms and all the crap Chris does.
It's public property for people who are not going to start shit. I mean...
I mean, that GameStop is owned by the people who own GameStop. It's their property. They can kick out any autistic idiot they want.
Yeah, it's their store. I mean, like, it's their part of the mall that they own and they're paying rent for. I mean...
So no one is entitled to be in a GameStop, you know.
I guess he believes that, like, he's really living in Quickville, and then it's like Quickville's his own nation, so therefore he's like a diplomat and he has like immunity or amnesty or whatever. It's kind of like that thing from the episode of Family Guy where he has Peter has his own country, and he does an entire song about Can't Touch Me. And I'm pretty sure that must go on through Chris's mind all the time, is that one song. I mean, am I wrong for thinking that or assuming that? I don't think I am.
No, he thinks he can do anything because he's the mayor of Quickville. You're right, and I think part of it is also the gay thing, because he thinks that he's like discriminated against, victim of homophobia, and he's like appealed to the Human Rights Council repeatedly over these various court cases. And he's, like, obsessed with this concept that everybody is homophobic against him. And I'm sure he sees the stuff, like, the court cases where gay people try to make Christians bake cakes for their weddings and try to make chapels perform wedding services for them. And he thinks, well, if they can do that there, why can't I do this at GameStop? You know, I'm a lesbian transgender of the soul. So I should be able to do anything I want, and everybody should be forced to accommodate me because I'm a minority and nobody has any private property rights to their own store. They all have to accommodate me because otherwise it's discrimination, blah, blah, blah. But
minority of what? He's white.
Exactly. He's a white male.
Race, they're going to see a white, autistic, fat dude. There is no minority in that whatsoever.
Yeah, he's a white male, but he thinks he's like... I mean, he says in there that he identifies with Obama and voted for Obama twice because he thinks being black is like being autistic, male, white. He's like, Obama had to deal with the hardships that I have to deal with, so I relate to him more. He's like, McCain was a war prisoner, and I don't really relate to that, but being black is like being autistic. And so I love Obama. He's one of the only males I respect, he says.
Oh, jeez! Oh my gosh! I cannot wait to listen to this!
Yeah, it's just amazing. And then at the end when Al...
I think I'm going to wreck my car on the way to school or home whenever I like, get into certain parts. Like, I don't know if I can control the steering wheel from my uncontrollable death laughter as I'm laughing... all the way as my car is running to a tree because I can't control anything because Chris Chan is going to be the death of me. That's literally how it's going to be. Oh, you motherfucker. Oh.
I also like when Chris says to Al, oh, I know your type from the television. Like, he thinks of people as TV characters. It just cracks me up. He's so clueless about actual human interaction.
Oh, my God. Oh.
The whole thing is just hysterical. I was cracking up all last night listening to it.
I'm going to have to save this until, like, I drive to the beach. Like, there's no way I can do this. I might be tempted next week. I don't know how far I'll get, but like, I might be safer just to be in the back seat. But then my parents are gonna be like, "Dustin, what are you laughing at?" I'm like, "Oh, it's just a great comedy skit." I'll just sit like, I don't know, Louis C.K. Just make up a comedian. It's George Carlton. That's who it is. Oh.
Yeah, this is like such an embarrassing date to listen to that I would not want anyone else to like. Hear it, you know? Like, it's just, like, it's just so ridiculous, the whole thing.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, I gotta say, this is a fun episode to record. We talked about Gundam and then laughed at Chris Chan maniacally. I can't ask for anything more. So, yeah, this is a good closing remark.
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know, I guess we'll figure out whatever we're going to record next time, so we'll figure something out. Or I know I got some, what I've been thinking about doing is like putting up those recordings I sent to the guy who does Anime 82, since he's taking his sweet time on that, and I figured I'd just put up our question, our answers, and just have that as like a week thing. I've thought about it, but...
Oh, just put up the raw audio without all his editing?
I'll just do that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We reviewed Arcadia of My Youth, a.k.a. Vengeance of a Space Pirate dub. We did that like almost a year and a half ago. Jeez. And he's just like, yo, we're going to do like a Leiji Matsumoto thing. No, I haven't seen it yet, Regan. Also closing remarks. RIP Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, yeah. That too.
Yeah.
Chris's response to his death was live long and prosper right after he died. I don't think he's going to be doing any more living.
I don't know. Maybe he's just like, maybe he saw Star Trek 3 and they put him on the Genesis planet and he'll just, you know, basically reform back to life again.
If only like, it were that easy.
Yeah, I streamed that on our live stream channel. By the way, I started up a live stream channel too, and I guess I'll post a link for that on our site eventually. But like, I streamed Star Trek 3 like last week. And like, for a movie directed by him and a movie that he was barely in, it was actually not that bad. So
yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, so I want to rewatch 4. I need to see the first one, and then I've got 5 that I need to watch, and then there's 6. But apparently 5 is the worst one. But I mean,
that one's ridiculous.
Yeah. Speaking of 4, the aircraft carrier USS Ranger that was in Star Trek 4 and also Top Gun was basically scrapped like earlier this week. Oh. Which makes me sad because I'm like, I love Top Gun. And no, like apparently according to CNN when I saw it, it was the fact that like they gave it to some like scrap company in Texas and they paid a penny for it. A penny for an entire decommissioned aircraft carrier. Like, why don't they make stuff like that public? I'd buy it for a penny and then have it sit out in the sea. And then I could just like somehow get a boat and go out to it and be like, you can't move it. It's my property. I paid a penny for it. Screw you. I was sad to hear that too. So, we need to close this down. This is all right. Fun.
We got an hour and a half, so that's pretty good.
Mr. Chandler is the mayor of Quickville. He's got a lot of things to do. Got a lot of chatter to steal. Mary Lee Walsh is always waiting to ruin his fun with the chaotic combo at his side. The day is already won. Welcome to Quickville. We invite you to swallow some sperm. Chris is straight, we guarantee. There are no girls allowed, unless you're boyfriend free. He doesn't like the blackies, and God says gays should die. And if you see him sitting at a table, well, you better read his sign.
Cause he has one of those.
Respect the medallion.